You're listening to A Lump in the Road. This is the diary of my sister, cancer, and me.
It's Monday the 23rd of January. First of all, where on earth has this month gone? I'm not even joking you. I feel like yesterday was Christmas, but it's...
Do you know why it's going so quickly?
Why?
Because we're getting old.
Is that what happens? Oh, God, okay.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, doesn't it, Justin? What a fun few weeks, few months it's been. Right, so last time we spoke was... just before you went for your histology report.
Yes.
So it was the Wednesday the 11th we spoke. And do you know what? I can't believe we didn't pick up on this last time we spoke. Your histology report was on Friday the 13th.
I know.
And it was only when I was teaching that day at school and I kept writing the date up on the board and looking, I mean, I shouldn't have been doing this, but looking at my phone every 5 minutes to see if you've messaged and going, God, it's Friday the 13th. Oh, God, this is a... And I'm not superstitious at all.
You see, I am superstitious, but I have to say the 13th has always been lucky for me.
And for me.
Yeah, well, so there you go.
Tom and I got married in 2013. I think it was because it was cheaper because nobody else wanted to get married in that year. And we're still going strong, so it was all good. For us, why has it always been?
Well,
lucky
I was born
you?
On the 13th.
Well, yeah, I forgot about
yeah,
that.
So I always think that that's lucky for me and for everyone else.
For everybody else, more so. Okay, so down to business then.
Yes.
Friday the 13th, histology appointment.
Yeah.
What were the results?
Good news. Really good news.
I like it. Like I'm pretending I don't know. I know what's good news. Do you know what? I planned on bringing like one of those things in, but I couldn't find one.
A party thing, like a trumpet.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it was good news. So basically... The surgeon told us, it was quite funny really, because you know how I quite like the surgeon anyway.
Well, anyone medical, I think, we can easily say. Sorry, Andrew.
Because it was life-saving surgery. I think that's why I think I have this extreme admiration for anybody that can do that kind of stuff. Anyway, the guy does, English is not his first language. And when we went into the consultation room, everyone now has to wear masks again in hospitals because they're obviously going through a massive flu epidemic as well as ongoing COVID. So he sat at his desk and Andrew and I both afterwards subsequently agreed that we both heard the same thing, which was, hi, lovely to see you. We've got the results. I'm afraid it's not good news. And we didn't know that we were both thinking that at the same time.
Oh, God.
But afterwards, we were sort of going over the detail that we could remember, which actually, for this appointment, was not very much detail. We couldn't remember very much detail, whereas normally, both of us managed to remember everything between us. Whereas this appointment, that wasn't the case. So we both thought initially that he'd said, it's not good news.
And of course, with the mask on.
With the mask on, and his first language is Italian, it sounded like that. But anyway, within a nanosecond, it became clear that actually it was good news because he said the margin was all clear. The tumour was the size that they had told us it would be on the MRI and the ultrasound of the mammogram, so 16 millimetres, and that they managed to clear it all. The only thing that was not as positive as they had hoped was that it had spread to one of the three lymph nodes that they ended up removing. I thought they were going to remove two, but they ended up taking three. And inside one of those lymph nodes was a teeny tiny microscopic amount of cancer, which was larger than 0.2 millimetres. So try and visualise this because it's tiny, tiny. Larger than 0.2 millimetres, but smaller than 2 full millimetres. And that is classed as micrometastases. So that could have been better news in that could not have been there, which would have been preferable.
But it could have been so much worse.
It could have been a million times worse.
Wow. And okay, real quick question. Did you jump over the desk and snog him? Because I don't know how many times we've spoken about your reactions. And I wanted to kiss him. I wanted to cuddle him.
I've got a thing about kissing, because today I was in the hospital having a blood test. And because I've had my sentinel lymph nodes removed on my right-hand side, I can no longer give blood. Anything to do with having a tourniquet or pressure on the right arm, I can no longer do. So no more heroin,
though? No, not for me. More jacking up for you.
I can always use my feet. That's not a funny joke, is it?
That's horrible.
So I was saying to the nurse that was taking my blood today, we can only use my left arm. And she was absolutely brilliant, got it in straight away to a vein that I've never seen before, but she found.
That you were very familiar with all of them? I've not seen you before. Do they have names?
No, but you do know that I'm now medically trained, don't you? So clearly.
Of course you are. Yes, absolutely. When are you joining the team?
Well, it's interesting you should say that. But she found this vein really quickly, took the blood. It was really easy. And again, I said to her, kissing isn't allowed, is it? So I think
Do you think they've put that on your nose?
I wonder
whether
they
know?
Have. Yeah.
Do you think nobody else in any hospital is wearing a mask, but they're like, get the barriers up. She's trying to kiss you. You are very tactile, generally, anyway, aren't you?
I am, but I tend not to kiss people I don't know very well, very often.
Not these days.
Not these days.
Not anymore.
Thank you. Anyway, so, I was absolutely overjoyed. I cried. It was a really emotional moment. So we were holding hands.
What did Andrew?
We were holding hands and he just squeezed my hand as I was getting the news. It was just, it was mind-blowing. I mean, really mind-blowing. I think for the first couple of days, maybe 3 or 4 days after I had the news, I couldn't quite believe that the tumour was that small. There is a little bit more detail that I need to probably give you. So the overall histology was really positive. But can you remember me telling you a little while ago about the feel of the tumour and the area being larger? They thought it was about 3 millimetres.
Yes,
and that's why
I
had to go for the MRI scan.
Yeah.
Well, apparently the reason why it felt so different was because around the tumour, it turns out that there was this thing called DCIS, which are precancerous cells. So it's basically precancerous cells inside one of your milk ducts.
God,
okay. So the tumour I had was an invasive tumour, so that means it's burst out into the breast tissue. And then surrounding that, or just underneath it, as it turns out, I think the tumour was on top, was this thing called invasive ductal carcinoma with associated DCIS. So that's basically precancerous cells inside a milk duct. That's it, in layman's terms.
Okay, that title sounds like somebody from The Bill, like a character from The Bill. It's DCIS.
You've been watching Happy Valley, haven't you?
No, I haven't. Oh,
yeah.
I need to.
You should. It's brilliant. But yeah, you're right. It does sound like DCIS, but it's nothing to do with DCIS.
No, I'm sure.
No, it's fully cancer-related or precancerous cell-related. So that is why. So those cells are not cancerous. Very often we can have those cells, but they don't ever do anything other than just sit there. So they tend not to always act on it. But because they were there and in situ and had my cat flap open, they removed the whole lot. That's all gone. The tumour's gone. So it did make the overall size of the tumour slightly larger at 19 millimetres. But for the cancer diagnosis, for all intents and purposes, it was 15 millimetres in real terms, 15, 16 millimetres. Who's going to split hairs over one mil?
I'm just so impressed that they can do that before surgery. And actually, we were thinking, what if it's bigger and what if this and what if that? And actually, they must do this so often and they knew their shit.
Yeah, they do know their stuff. So they were able to take a larger than normal margin with the type of surgery that I had and where my cancer was, which meant that I'm hoping it would have been clear anyway, but it meant that the margin was absolutely clear. So it was it's a good result. The only thing that is niggling me and has subsequently started to niggle me more, the further away I am from that appointment and the more time I've had, I suppose, to let the news settle in, is this micrometastases. It's really bothering me.
Okay, because, again, that now is reminding me of Magical Mr. Mistopheles. I don't know, what is wrong with my brain?
Oh, God, from Cats, that would be amazing. The Magical Mr. maybe shouldn't sing.
Mistopheles.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
So what is it? Sorry, so because all I'm going to think of is that now.
Yeah, well, you can.
Okay.
But this is serious, so we probably shouldn't call it.
We've got a lot of cat...
Cat references.
Yeah, definitely.
It's called micrometastases. Okay. So metastases is when the cancer has spread. Micro is when it's between the measurements I just gave you, so 0.2 millimetres and under 2 millimetres. So I said to my... Oh, and it confirmed as well, the histology, just before we move through this, the histology was confirmed that it was oestrogen and progesterone positive. And finally...
Ah,
HER2! negative.
Oh, God.
So that is really good news.
That was just a real bugbear, wasn't it?
It was.
All the way through.
Yeah.
And they told us not to worry, but
they did.
That one thing, not knowing.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we said all along, it wouldn't have made any difference up until now, which is the post-operative treatment plan. But, you know, it just is what it is. And luckily it's negative.
Yeah.
That is a real godsend.
So everything's able to be treated with the hormone therapy.
Yeah, to be fair, even if it had been positive, it was still easily treatable. They just use a different type of chemotherapy.
Right.
But it just is likely to spread faster. But the thing that's bothering me is that since I had that consultation, I've subsequently had another letter from the clinic just to confirm the actual diagnosis in writing, and it gives, and it's a much more formalised way of having this communicated to you, because I had the follow-up letter from my surgeon, and then I've had this letter from the pathology department.
Was the letter from your surgeon a little bit more flowery and gentle?
He didn't sign it with swalk or anything like that, but it wasn't, no, it was much more chatty, whereas
this is
a black and white grid document with numbers, staging, diagnosis. There's no...
But that's you do like that as well.
I do like that as well, but I wasn't expecting that on top of the letter I'd had. And there was something in this letter that has made me feel... Well, there's a couple of things that have made me feel really uncomfortable. And so now I've got more questions that I need to go back and ask the oncology team. So the first thing that I noticed on my letter was this thing called the Nottingham Prognostic Index, which nobody had mentioned to me in the history of my liaisons with the breast unit, which began in November. Nobody has mentioned this to me. And the prognostic index, NPI, Nottingham Prognostic Index, apparently is used internationally, certainly UK-based, but I think internationally, to give you a prognosis of your likelihood to be alive in the next 5 years.
Because the 5 years
is key for my type of cancer. So if my type of cancer, which is oestrogen and progesterone positive but HER2 negative, can reoccur. Okay, if you have had a cancer that is HER2 positive, that can also reoccur, but you stand a better chance of it not reoccurring if you can get past the 2 year mark.
Right.
So it swings and roundabouts. I mean, it's all a bit of a lottery. But
what had shocked you then about realising that this was on your report?
Okay, so what shocked me was in the consultation on that Friday the 13th, when we spoke about follow-on treatment, my consultant, based on not just his opinion, but the opinion of the multidisciplinary team,
that you're going to become part of.
I would not be surprised if they asked me to become an honorary member. Can you imagine?
No.
I'd be like, can you just explain this to me? There's just one more thing. Could you just tell me why you think this?
They'd literally have to lengthen the appointments for another 20 minutes.
Funny, thank you. So when we, the multidisciplinary team have basically said that the next step for me is not the chemotherapy route, but it is radiotherapy to my breast area. And then for 10 years, I think it's going to be, of systemic, so whole body hormone treatment.
Right.
And that is because my cancer is estrogen positive. Okay. So we just try. And the reason why I went today for my blood test was to ascertain whether I was still perimenopausal or whether I'd gone through the menopause, so postmenopausal. And once we know the results of that, they will then know the type of drug to prescribe. It will be either tamoxifen if I'm still perimenopausal or another, which does a slightly different job, but it basically blocks the estrogen from attaching to the cell. Okay. Any cell in my body, it will stop the estrogen attaching itself to it. So in theory, of course, that will work. And when I said to him in that moment, so what is the likelihood of this reoccurring? He said 1-2% is very, very low.
Okay, because I said giving me 98% chance,
yes,
of
being
alive in 5 years.
Yeah,
right.
And so, because I was really worried about not having chemotherapy, I was delighted that I wasn't going to have chemotherapy in the moment, but then have subsequently been panicking like mad because I think from a values, beliefs, cultural point of view, we think of chemotherapy as treatment for cancer. So you expect surgery to get rid of the lump, then you expect chemotherapy because you think, well, if I have chemotherapy, in theory, that's blasting my whole body. So not much is going to survive, hair, nails, all the other cells, but neither is the cancer. So I kind of think it's going to be horrific and I don't really want it. But in some ways, and this is going to sound incredibly sick, and I don't mean it to be, but it feels comforting that you've got it because in my head, I think I would feel, okay, well, if there is any lurking, if it reached another lymph node and we just missed it, or if whatever, it metastasized somewhere else, which it very likely has not, then there is every chance it will be blasted with the chemotherapy. So I'm not having that.
But don't you think that idea that you jump to is something that probably would have been done maybe 5, 10 years ago? I mean, I'm just, you know, throwing figures around.
Yeah, you are.
But
yeah,
what they're able to do now, surely,
yes,
is to determine more by what they've already done to you and therefore,
yes,
statistically know that you are at very low risk.
Exactly. And that is, and it will be based on scientific evidence. And then I will get back to the MPI thing in a minute because this is relevant for that. But when I then started to look into this myself, it does look like there is scientific evidence that suggests with the variables of my cancer, so that's the stage, the size, the node, the existence in one of the sentinel lymph nodes, the grade, with all of those, my age, all those things in one melting pot, the evidence says that my chances of survival without chemotherapy are the same as with. So that in theory and in practice,
yeah, I was going to say, not just a theory
way,
now. Yeah.
Yeah, there is no need for it, okay?
Okay.
So at first, I was happy to accept that, yes, because I think I was in shock.
Yeah.
But my natural personality type is one that then would want to go and explore that. Once I've let it settle, I then need to go and find out what that means. But then this letter arrived on Saturday, which talks about this Nottingham Prognostic Index. And it gave me an index of 3.3, okay?
But let's just clarify here as well for people listening. There is no other context on this letter, is there?
No.
Apart from these numbers.
No.
And that's what's upset you a bit, I think, isn't it?
I think so, yeah, because there is the diagnosis, there's the date of diagnosis, and then there is the staging, and then there is this NPI.
Yeah.
And then below that, there is just a summary of ongoing treatment, which we've already talked about. So it's radiotherapy to the breast, and it's also the hormone treatment for the systemic treatment.
So the NPI number then is within what?
The NPI number is based solely on the post-treatment TNM stage. Okay, now the TNM stage is T, tumour, N, node, M, metastases. Okay, so you get like a convoluted, so mine is PT1C, PN1MI. Okay. Yeah. So that tells you that the P is for post-operative. So it's a pathology report rather than a guesswork, which is what they give you to start with. So I'm PT1. So it's tumour is grade one. And it is C because it is smaller than 2 centimetres, but greater than 1 centimetre. And then the P again is for the pathology, so it's a confirmed. And the N is in lymph nodes, so that's node, then one, so it's in one lymph node. And then MI means metastasized.
Got you.
Micro metastasized.
Got you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what the Nottingham Prognostic Index is based on. So it's not based on anything else. It's not based on what I think what happens now, next. It's not based on hormone treatment or the radiotherapy. When you look on the internet, it's based on the staging.
And what does that the number equate to then in terms of life expectancy?
Yeah, so this was the bit that really threw me and has upset me. And basically, it gives you different bands. So mine fits into, so there's excellent, good, or very good, and then it gets less impressive as you move further down the scale. So mine still gives a good prognosis.
You're not in excellent, though, are you?
No, and why that? Why? How is that not possible?
This is really hard for you, isn't it? Take the cancer out of the way, but if you're not in that band, that's a real tough pill to swallow, isn't it, for you?
You know what the nicest bit of the entire letter that he sent me was?
Go on.
Not all the stuff about the histology and blah, 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 but he actually put, and you are healing very well.
Did you highlight that with a pink highlighter?
Important. Sent it to my family. I did actually send it to you all. Do you remember? Nobody played the game.
Oh,
guess what the best bit was.
I definitely read that.
Yeah.
But yes, okay. Not being in the excellent band.
Yeah. So it's not just that. It isn't just that. On a very serious note, at 3.3, it takes me to the lower end of the second band. And the lowest point of that band is 3.4. And that only gives me a 15% chance. An 85% chance of being... of not dying of breast cancer within the next 5 years. And I had been led to believe that it was a lot higher.
Yeah.
And you know what? I will still take 85% as a rough average, but it threw me.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why I'm sharing this and labouring the point is because it threw me. It could throw other people. It sent me reeling. And I have had some very down days since the histology report, because I just feel without this chemotherapy that what if they've not got it.
But as we spoke to you the other night, you came round here, we were having a chat about it, Andrew was here, Tom was here, and am I right in thinking potentially that the future plan, the radiotherapy, the hormone treatment, it's without considering that. Have you got clarification on that?
I haven't. I think it is without the additional treatments. So in which case, there's no context and it is an average. And so therefore, I need clarification. I need the context. I spoke to my nurse this morning at the breast unit, and I've now got an appointment on the 14th of February.
What is it with you and dates? Weird dates. Got Friday the 13th. And the 14th of February.
I thought I'd give Andrew a treat and take him to the oncology unit for a nice day out.
Come on, darling, treating you this Valentine's night.
Woohoo! So I called the nurse at the breast unit this morning to say, look, I've got some questions, some quite in-depth questions that I want to speak to one of the doctors about. Will I be seeing a technician on the 14th, or will it be with an oncologist? And she said it's an oncologist. So hopefully at that point I can ask these questions, because I just need a little bit of reassurance. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
When you are in this situation, your mind goes racing. And I know that I'm prone to doing that anyway. I overthink things. But equally, because I overthink things, I can process stuff. And that means that I can spend a shorter time in chaos than some other
you
people.
You are better with knowledge, much better.
And then I can overthink it to death and then move on.
Yeah.
And it's done then.
Yeah, you are very good at doing that, I have
to say. So I need just a little bit more now that I've got my sane... logical, I'm thinking properly and carefully head on, rather than yay, which is how I felt when they gave me
the thing. Is you've got to take that win, you've got to take the yay, and absolutely in that moment you know, ecstatic.
Yeah.
However, I totally get why you feel like you feel numbers and letters on, a report that you weren't aware of.
I wasn't expecting.
And, yeah, I can understand why now, when the dust has settled, that feels chaotic to you.
Yes, it absolutely does.
So hopefully 14th of February will bring a beautiful Valentine's Day and hopefully some other answers that you are looking for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Will that be a time then when you learn about your hormones and your perimenopause and your menopause? Or
I imagine that will be in the next few days, because the bloods take very little time to come through. So I imagine that prescription will arrive, or I'll be called by the breast unit in the next few days. I think what the 14th will be about will be the ongoing radiotherapy treatment that I have to have.
Okay.
And again, that doesn't feel like enough. I know that I'm not a doctor. I actually do know that.
Do you?
I do know that. I know that I'm not a doctor, it doesn't feel like enough. Because when he said to me it's going to be 5 days of radiotherapy, and the sessions, I think, last for 10, 15 minutes every day.
Did you say, is that it?
Yeah, literally. Should I have more, or should, you know? But I didn't say that. That's what I was thinking in my head. Is this right? Has he got this right? Yeah. And it just doesn't feel like a lot. And I feel like I've dodged a bullet, but I just need a bit of reassurance.
And everything's relative to your own personal circumstances. Yes. Obviously, you could be going through something quite different now.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be thinking like this. But it is, you should never feel bad about how you're feeling in the moment about stuff. So don't feel bad about worrying about something that other people may feel is small.
I don't, honestly. I really don't, because this is, as we've said all along with these podcasts, this is my journey. I know that I'm very lucky to be having the type of journey that I'm having. You know, not everyone gets away so lightly, and I really, really know that. But it is happening to me, and I can only go with what I need to know and how I need to feel about things. So I just need a bit more information about this.
And talking about journeys, you are only experiencing your journey. We've done this journey together so far.
We have.
And I feel so privileged, and I'm going to cry now, don't let me cry. I feel so privileged for being on this journey with you, and for you wanting me to be here with you all the time.
Thank you.
And I've really enjoyed doing our podcast. And I know my journey, but it would be really nice, I think, to talk to other people close to you, Andrew, Beatrice, Mum, to see how they've coped and how they've supported you as well.
Yeah.
So I think maybe next podcast, potentially, we could bring a couple of them in.
Dare I let my family loose?
I don't know. Well, Tom, my husband, as you know, obviously has been editing this for us. He can be very clever in the editing suite.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, you know, all the contestants on Big Brother always say that they've been edited really badly and that they've been made to look like this. I'm slightly worried.
No, let's bring on the fam. Let's bring
the fam.
Yeah.
Do you know, I think that's not a bad idea, because I think that their perspective and how they have handled it and how they've supported me, all of them in very different ways, has really contributed to my ability to go through the really awful days and then find positivity and be able to pick myself back up and recalibrate. Because if you think parenting is about recalibration, the cancer journey is about recalibration. It's non-stop. And you really always need to be able to reframe everything all of the time, often at a minute's notice. And that's even with the good news that I've had. So I can only imagine what it must be like if the news is less than the positive stuff that I am now whinging about. Yeah. So
that reset button, a good button to be able to have at your convenience.
Yes.
And it would be really nice to actually bring them in and see how they've, how they've coped.
If you're sure. God, I dare do it.
No, it's going to be fine. We're going to do it. We will speak next week and bring in the fam.
Gosh.
We are family.
Heaven knows.
That's episode 6 done. If you've enjoyed listening to the podcast so far, please hit subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and make sure you tell your friends. Also, please get in touch with us at Breast is History to share your stories and potentially any topics that you would like us to cover or that you think would be worth listening to. Until next time.